You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
Why, hello. Hey, I see you there. That's right. I'm Chris, and I want to be your friend. Now, if you look under your chair, you'll see a giant water bong and just a massive quantity of weed. You are going to need that for what's coming up. That's kind of what I thought this movie was going for, or at least something a little more druggy. But I've got a lot of other people here to discuss this movie Rent-A-Pal with me, which definitely sold itself as more of an abstract sci-fi horror than I think it actually ended up being. But what the fuck? It's got Will Wheaton in it. I don't have Will Wheaton here, although I did send him a fond complimentary message on Facebook today that he'll never see or respond to. First, I've got Marco.
Hello. I do have Will Wheaton. In fact, he's hidden downstairs. Now that we're videotaping these things, I can't just have my bodies on full display like I normally do. Thank you for that, Chris. Will Wheaton is not the slender little waif he was back in the TNG era. He is a full-grown man. He's heavy. Took a lot of effort to get him down the stairs.
Yeah, not to mention, you must have had to power wash the charnel house room there.
You know, I have an air compressor. I have a spray gun. That's all fresh, wet paint.
It's not Saw, it's that old
that
Saw.
That old Saw. Okay. I kill people and then tell you how to clean up a crime scene. It's a new thing that I'm going to offer for our subscribers. Just free little tips that could come handy. Like, you know, if you're buried a body, bury them vertically. From the sky, the helicopters just see this horizontal strip of freshly undug earth. But if you dig them straight down, they'll have no idea what they're looking at.
Plus, it saves space, ultimately. I mean, eventually you're going to run out of backyard. Anyway, I got right.
Hello.
Follow that.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, this was interesting. It was much more of a psychological drama.
Kind of much more than I think any of us were expecting based on how it was sold. Then we've got Adrian.
Hey. I don't know how you knew that there was a bunch of weed under my seat, but you were right.
We've met you, Adrian. Plus, why are you in the red room from the Amityville Horror? Why are you in the red room from the Amityville
Horror? I was thinking more
Horror.
Suspiria. Yeah, you know what? I just put on in any t-shirt, too. I wasn't thinking. I completely forgot we were going to record video.
Right.
I guess I'm just more of a floating head right now.
No. Red on red is fine. It's when it's green on green that right, we have a problem.
I think it's red on yellow, kill a fella. Or is it?
I think that's what it is. Why do you keep coming back to killing people?
Yeah, Marco? Anyone watching this, you should probably maybe contact the FBI and let them know. Marco.
Blink twice if you're in Marco's basement right now. This is directed by John Stevenson, who's previously more of a cameraman, cinematographer, worked on a lot of films in that aspect, but this is his debut. It stars Brian Landis Fulkins, a relatively experienced, albeit not well-known actor, as David. And David lives at home with his elderly mother, who is going through some form of rather serious of dementia. She can't remember that he's not his dead brother. She can barely fend for herself, and she's kind of a bitch. I mean, at first, you're like, oh, but she's got dementia. I mean, you don't know what she's really like. And as the movie goes along, you're like, oh, no, she was horrible when she wasn't like that. David doesn't have any friends. He's certainly a virgin. There's almost no question about that whatsoever. This is supposed to be 1990, even though it looks more like 1982 or something. He goes to this place that is like one of those video dating places in the days when you actually had to get hard copies of the video dating profiles, or so Marco tells me.
I'm glad you added copies to that. I just heard you say because you had to get hard.
No, Marco, I told you about all these secret details. Activate the laser sharks. No, sorry. So he goes there going through these rent-a-dates and nobody is interested in him. Honestly, he's not that interested in most of the women he's seeing either. He's kind of pathetic, but not like comically pathetic. He's not playing a mega loser so much as a guy who's just stuck and has no social experience.
Right. That's where it feels more like a serious drama. It's not played up. It's not really hyperbolic where a true genre movie could have gone with this type of character where he would have just been like, I don't know what to do. No one likes me. And they didn't do that. He was a normal guy. Yeah, he's caring for his mother. That her being mean is also a symptom of Alzheimer's or dementia. So like in the movie, he talks about how she was really mean when he was a kid. And he, you know, does bring up some experiences. So don't necessarily know if he's like telling the truth in the entire way, if he's like trying to embellish it a little bit. But the way that he handles himself, it's very sympathetic. I felt attacked.
Well, that's just it. He is definitely, I don't know if nerd's the right word, because he doesn't seem to be into anything all that nerdy. He has no social skills because he's never had the opportunity to use them. I mean, the guy's been trapped with an abusive parent, and now he's trapped with a parent with dementia, and he's just trapped.
Right.
And he doesn't know what to do about it. And when he's at this place, he notices sort of like in the it looked like it was in the returns box, or I don't know if it was like discount copies.
It felt like discount copies.
A videotape called Rent-A-Pal with Will Wheaton on it, which I know I would have rented just because, you know, Will Wheaton. I want to go, what happened with the Traveler? Sorry, very nerdy.
I think this is the reason why we signed up for this movie. It's like, well, Will Wheaton's in this. But yeah, let's fucking do it.
As someone who doesn't watch Star Trek, I just thought the concept was interesting.
Fair. Well, you should watch Star Trek for the record. That's just the David side of me talking. So he starts watching this thing, and at first he's like, this is dumb. But after a while, really is his only human contact other than his mother, and he starts kind of getting sucked into it and kind of memorizing it and the responses to it. And, like, he starts to believe that he really does have a relationship with this person on this videotape. And I think this is actually where the movie arguably loses its way a little bit. Because, as I said, the trailer kind of sells this as a film like, oh, well, it is kind of a self-aware thing. Now, I'm not judging the film based on the trailer. Trailers lie. That's a very famous rule we all know. But the film is ambiguous to a point where I didn't think that it necessarily should have been about there's something going on there, maybe a little more supernatural or what, with the videotape and the person on the tape. It dances around it to where you can go, oh, there's not. It's just this guy going crazy. But there's enough things going on that you're like, well, how do you explain that happening? That it never really decides either way. And it doesn't feel like the sort of thing that you can get away with.
It's ambiguous until it's not. And I thought going into this, this was going to be like a cross between The Ring and Nightmare on Elm Street, a haunted VHS tape where a guy can, you know, manifest himself in your daily life. Because as we go through it, we see the Will Wheaton character, who's known as Andy. He has this whole pattern. It's all very generic. It's like, oh, how are you doing? My name is Andy. What's your name? Well, it's very nice to meet you. Tell me about yourself. And of course, anybody can project onto that. But of course, then Andy starts kind of going off script and asking and responding to things that David is saying specifically. And we find out very quickly that Andy's kind of angry and creepy and weird. Where this really goes off the rails for me, where it becomes a better movie, is when David does find a young woman who seems perfect for him, and he reaches out and they have an awkward meet cute, and it seems like, hey, everything's going to be fine now. And it becomes this little slice of life drama about a sad, lonely man who finds some acceptance and companionship until Andy starts going, hey, he starts giving him the whole bros before hoes spiel. And then things get really fucking squicky really fast.
That's just it. There's recommendations on this videotape from like Regis and Kathy Lee, right?
I saw that.
Did you watch more than the first 10 minutes of this thing? Also, there's stuff like that on it where you're like, they've already established this guy has watched this tape enough times that he's memorized it. What happened the first time he saw that sequence, right? It just doesn't make any sense.
And he admits it's stupid. He even says, this is stupid. But he plays along.
I don't know if it's completely black and white as to what's actually on the tape and what is something that David kind of wants to hear. I think the movie does blur the line enough for it to, it's either taking place completely in its head or it is actually happening. I recently started watching a show called Joe Pera Talks With You on Adult Swim. He's this comedian, and the show is about the beauty of just kind of being okay with where you are in your life, even if it's not something that's seen as big. This is like the complete opposite of that. This is like, you are stuck and this is horrifying and existential. I feel like we all know somebody kind of like this. I think we interact with about 4 people like this per day on Facebook alone.
I thought you meant for this podcast.
Andy would be a rabid anti-masker if he were still around today.
I thought it was like charming, but also, I don't know if this is a horror movie. I don't know if this is a thriller. It's definitely not anything sci-fi. I wouldn't even slightly call it that. No. And for the horror elements, it kind of works like any other movie where someone befriends a doll that starts to get jealous or something like that. It kind of falls into those tropes.
It's like the cable guy or something like that.
Yeah.
The creepy guy who thinks he's your buddy and he's angry that you would be friends with anybody else.
I'm still thinking about Will Wheaton crawling out of a television set.
I really did think at one point it was going to go full Videodrome.
Yeah.
And just like him coming out, like he only sees Andy or Will Wheaton in the tape and that's it. And I was really kind of waiting for this really big twist or something, because I thought at some point it was going to go full like slasher horror or something like that.
Something big was going to change.
Well, for most of the viewers, I think the twist is going to come when the movie ends and they look up and realize that they're in the same basement and this is completely accurate to what they're going through. Of course I know him. He's me.
Tell us more.
Okay, maybe not me specific, but definitely people I've argued with.
For me, here's where the movie went off the rails. Andy is obviously a comforting presence in this guy's life because he has nothing else going on. He meets this girl. Surprisingly, she's very understanding. She's very sweet. He's like, this is perfect. And Andy's like, hey, man, I thought we were buddies. We were going to play cards, remember? He chooses Andy. I thought it was going to be a guy going, dude, I'm just trying to get away from you. You were a nice little delusion when I needed it, but now I'm moving on with my life, and now this creepy fucker is coming at me. But no, by the middle of the film, we realize he is enthralled to Andy, and I'm like, how did this happen?
Yeah, I felt the same way.
I felt the opposite, because it kind of made sense since he was so deprived of any other human connection besides his mother, who's been just chastising him and being mean to him, even though he's caretaking her the entire time as well. There's one thing that we should mention, that he is drinking the entire time, most of the time that he's watching these tapes. So it is a downer, it is a depressant. So he is also probably fairly drunk when he's watching these videos, and he is just getting kind of sucked into it, which, you know, if anyone's ever had kind of like a drunken stupor, you know, it doesn't feel that far-fetched. No. And so then when watching the video again...
Why did you highlight me there for a second?
I don't know.
You wanted Marco to say, like, go on. It didn't feel that far-fetched. What got me, though, that still hooked me was that I remember watching it and I was like, no, you idiot. Like, she actually likes you. What are you doing? Like, go with her. You don't need the goddamn tape anymore. But I understood why he kept on doing it. And I believed it, because I'll say this, though. The main actor, Brian Landis Fulkins.
He's really good in this.
He's good. He carries it. He's sympathetic. And I thought he was really empathetic throughout the whole movie. The end is a little like, oh, okay, here we go.
The problem is he played him like a human being until he becomes a monster. And that point, that's where it lost me, because I thought it was very sweet. I thought he was believable.
I think he sold the director's intentions or what the script was intending to do extremely well. Mm-hmm. The problem is that I didn't buy that transfer point either. And partially is because, well, you said anybody who's ever really been in a drunken stupor. I'm like, anybody who's ever had a hard-on and never had a woman touch them before is more powerful than any series of drunken stupors.
I like Will Wheaton, but I don't want to hang out with him that bad.
Without supernatural or sci-fi influence that this guy was like, I'm just going to keep hanging out with Will Wheaton on this videotape rather than get laid. I don't believe it.
I don't buy that at
and
all.
I don't think it sold it to me. I don't think it sold the point between him imagining stuff or truly going over the edge of going crazy and what's real. I didn't feel any point where I could tell. Now, maybe that's entirely intentional to make it where it is that much more make you feel uncomfortable watching or whatever their intention may be by doing that. But I know personally that's kind of a pet peeve for me.
The only reason I kind of bought that he is wanting to hang out with Andy, like I mentioned, I never watched Star Trek Next Generation. So I thought first-time actor Will Wheaton was really good in this and extremely charming, which totally makes sense why.
That's why it says introducing Will Wheaton at the beginning.
Hey, he was in Eureka, too.
A 30-year overnight success.
Oh, see, I've never seen that either. This is his only friend. And to me, it makes sense that he chose to not betray his only friend, because it seems like his only friend is going to get real mad if he does.
Have you never had a girlfriend? Whether you're the guy dating or you're the guy whose best friend is getting laid, one of you's getting dropped. That is what happens. And I just do not believe that transition, because the guy plays him so human. And I know the mother is supposed to be like a monster. She's not a monster. She never comes across that. If you've ever had to care for someone who is having dementia, who has health issues, you know how cranky they get. There's never a moment where I doubt that he loves this mother, even though she gets on his nerves. So when he finally meets this woman who is like, no, I'm totally cool with that. It's all right that you live with your mom. I think it's great that you're taking care of her. You're a good person. And I also like to help people as well. There's absolutely no reason why he would go back to Andy. That's when the movie breaks itself just to tell this other story. And I was really enjoying this like late 70s, early 80s indie drama about a man struggling to take care of his mother and discover love. And then it's like, oh, but we have to make a horror movie now. And that movie sucked.
Adrian, your rebuttal, and then we'll go to final thoughts.
Yeah, no, I just think we're kind of failing to mention the fact that he's being manipulated, and whether that is from Andy directly or his collapsing mental state, I don't think anything in this movie is unrealistic for what the character did. I think that type of character is set up in the beginning, and I think it follows through. I think the only problem I really had with this was the last maybe like 5 minutes of the movie, where another character does something where, to me, that was the moment where it's like, where did that come from?
Let's go to final thoughts. Adrian, say more.
This was interesting. I wasn't scared. I was actually pretty disturbed and kind of sad. I think the acting is great. I think Will Wheaton is fantastic in this. He works being charming as well as being completely creepy at times. And I think this is one of those good midnight type movies to watch with a friend. You're going to get something out of it, and it's not the best, but it's worth checking out whenever it hits whatever it's going to hit for streaming. I would give this 3 Video Pals out of 5.
Right?
I did thoroughly enjoy this, actually. I thought it was kind of a decent movie, one of the better ones I've actually seen this year, quite honestly. The Will Wheaton character, Andy, almost substituted for the father figure that he also said that was a jerk. Mm-hmm. But it was also, he wanted that attention, that approval from him at the same time, because he wasn't around. And then you find out things about the father. I thought it was also, just on a technical standpoint, really well shot. Like the lighting, just the camera setups, it was all really well done. And the actors were all great. Everyone I thought was believable. The only thing that I thought technically was kind of out of place, even though I do like this kind of resurgence of this type of soundtrack or music, was the music. It was misplaced. It didn't feel like it should have been in this movie, because it was making it seem like it was more of a genre-heavy movie, where this was much more of just a psychological drama. And I thought it could have used just more of like subdued tones or strings or just something like that to kind of carry it further, where honestly it could have been a lot more of a, I'm going to use the term prestige movie loosely, but more of those kind of indie, darker prestige movies if it had like a better soundtrack at the same time. But I still liked it a lot. I would recommend it quite a bit, and I'll give it 8 out of 10 fallen lasagna platters, which, ugh, that's a shame.
Broke my heart, man.
That broke my heart. I was like, no, not that lasagna.
Dr. Later's like, it was the lasagna that broke Bright's heart. No, I mean, literally, he ate too much lasagna.
Yeah, his heart stopped. Yeah.
Marco?
I was deeply disappointed by this because I'd say the first half of the movie, I was really, really into it. The problem with a movie like this is you see a character like David and you assume he's a fucking loser and a creep. The film wants you to think that because when you get to that third act turn, it goes, well, of course, he takes care of his mother and he lives alone. Of course he's a creep. No, he's just a sad man who doesn't have a lot of options in life. The depiction of taking care of one's elderly parent, I thought, was very true to life, and all of the sad heaviness that comes with that, and the natural resentment that comes to the people you love when they are, you feel like they're holding you back. Again, I just never once believed that after all of this time trying to score a date, he meets a girl who understands him, who relates to him, that he has actually met in real life, and who accepts him, and he's going to throw it all away for this imaginary friend. I don't buy that. I would ditch real friends for a really nice girl. So I ain't going to give it up.
Marco is totally against the bros before hoes. He's like, that is not a real rule.
It's not a real rule. That's some bullshit. If you're still quoting bros before hoes, you're 14 years old, put down the Mountain Dew and grow up. They have to turn this character into something that the film has not depicted him as, unless you just assume single, lonely man taking care of his mother is some kind of weird incel creep. I didn't buy it. The character is just portrayed too well by the actor, far too sympathetically. So when we do get the third act change, he gives an absolutely committed performance, but the script did not take him to that place. I'm going to have to give this 4.5 out of 10 tater tot ice packs.
David just watching Will Wheaton on the screen going, you're so fucking special. I wish I was special. No, I mean, he is kind of a creep. I disagree with you there. I don't think he's a generic creep is the difference. I don't think he is a, this is the cliched creep. He has some depth he's to nuanced. Him, no question about it. And you hope for him, if based on no other fact, and honestly, I can't think of another fact why you would, because he does show he is not a waste. He is not ruined. He is not someone who is like a toxic guy. He is probably pretty fucked up from his experiences, and we see that in fact he is, but he looks like he can be still saved, and that, if for no other reason, is what we're rooting for this guy for. And there's not a lot here for us to root for overall. I do really like Will Wheaton's part in here. I think he does a great job with it. He's clearly having fun with it. I found that it wanted to be two things at once and it didn't succeed. It never accomplished in selling me on its goal. I saw what they were trying to accomplish, but I don't believe that it worked. We didn't mention Amy Rutledge plays the love interest, Lisa, who sounds like she's going to be have more to do with this film than she actually is. She's really just kind of a third act. There has to be another character here somewhere to light the match, to set the powder keg burning for things to happen. Ultimately, there's very few characters. It's kind of a bottle film. I didn't really care whether David was okay or not. And the only character who I really care about at all, Amy Rutledge's character, Lisa, and I don't, because we barely know her. We're just like, well, don't kill an innocent girl who's like a nurse and hospice worker. Yeah. We don't really know her. It's well shot. Cinematography is really good. Wheaton is great. Brian Landis Fulkins does a really good job. But it felt like a very strong debut indie film, which, oh, it is.
Yeah.
It just isn't the one that this director is going to list as the one that he wants to be remembered for, I suspect. Hey, man, but you should totally work with these guys again. Work with both those actors again. If they Will Wheaton says yes, take them up on it. I'm going to give this 7 days of Will Wheaton crawling through your television set with long hair going, hey guys, you want to play some Dungeons and Dragons?
Sorry, Will. I got a girlfriend.